Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years, helping them learn about the love and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Jan Wismer gets our discussion started today.
Valerie, you were living in the jungle, obviously. We've been talking about that. But you weren't there all the time. You occasionally made trips back to the capital city of Quito with your mother. Can you tell me what those were like or anything that you remember about the differences between being in the jungle and up in the capital city?
I remember the little Cessna plane rides that we had to take. I loved being on the plane. I still love flying. I remember just being fascinated watching the jungle go below us as we flew over the jungle and out to Chelmeta. Chelmeta was the mission station where the MAF plane was. And I remember loving going to that house in Chelmeta and staying sometimes with Aunt Marge Saint, I think it was, and the good meals that she would cook and the fun we had playing there. And then I remember going to Quito in a bigger plane, wasn't it, from Chelmeta to Quito?
Sometimes by plane, sometimes by a rather rickety version of a bus.
Okay. Yes, I remember going on a bus and stopping in very crowded little city, was it Ambato, where they sold taffy. And that was such a treat, getting taffy. The lady would come on the bus yelling. What would she yell?
Well, I can't remember what they called that taffy stuff.
Something.
All kinds of things besides that. And huevos, and papas fritas, and las últimas noticias para hoy.
And I would beg my mother to buy some taffy. I remember that. And then getting to Quito, I remember having to wear my shoes and socks, which I didn't have to wear very much in the jungle.
A great trial, wasn't it?
Trial to have to wear
shoes and
socks.
Took those things off every time I turned my back.
And having to wear a sweater in Quito, I remember that. I remember the geraniums around the mission children's house. What was that called? Where the children lived while they went to school in Quito.
That was the Christian Missionary Alliance School. It was an academy there.
Okay, but where Aunt Mary Lou lived with all the children?
Well, she had a hostel for missionaries.
I remember
children.
That house very well. Yes. I remember playing with kids there. But anyway, the geraniums around the wall of that house, we children used to go out and eat the petals, at least part of the end of the petal. And I remember loving doing that in the cool weather. And I remember looking up at the mountains and once in a while, I think we took a little picnic and hike up onto the mountains, and it was always so clear and cold, and I remember loving that.
There was one thing that the missionary children often got to take part in, and that was a little radio program. I think it was called Tiny Treasures. And Valerie, you say you don't remember this, so I'm going to let Elizabeth tell us about one of the interviews that a woman by the name of Nancy Woolnough held with you when you were 4 years old.
Yes, Nancy asked Val the question that all adults ask children, I guess, is one of the few questions we can ever think of to ask them. What would you like to do when you grow up, or what would you like to be? And on the tape, which we still have, you hear this little tiny voice, and she says, "Just want to be a mommy."
And what are you today, Valerie?
That's what I am. I'm a mommy.
A mommy of?
Six children.
Six beautiful children, whom I have just gotten to meet in the last day and have had a very good time with. Let's talk about the move back to the United States. You were in Ecuador until what age?
We were in Ecuador till I was 8.
All right. And then you decided to, your mother decided it was time to come back to the United States. What were some of your reasons, Elizabeth?
Primarily Valerie's education. If I knew then what I know now about homeschooling, I might not have felt so strongly about it, but due to the many distractions of her playmates and jungle life, and the fact that Valerie was an only child, having been only 10 months old when her father was killed, meant that she didn't have any peer pressure to study, and she didn't take her studies very seriously, and I felt that she really needed to be with some other children. So feeling vehemently opposed to the idea of sending very young children away from home to boarding school. My only other option was to come back to the States myself, so we returned to the States when she was 8.
And where did you go to live then, Valerie?
We went to Franconia, New Hampshire, which was my mother's childhood summer home, and she decided that was a perfect place to settle down. And I remember living for a period in the old house that she had stayed in her summers while she had another house built for us.
What were some of the changes? What things really left impressions on you from coming from the jungle up to, quote, civilization?
Driving in cars. I remember the Volkswagen that my mother had. Meeting a couple of little friends very close to us. There were two friends, Robin and Chris, that I got to know pretty quickly that summer before I started fourth grade. And then, of course, starting school in a little public school in Franconia was a big, big thing. It was exciting. I remember that my mother and I went out and bought some school clothes, and I remember the little white sweater and the purple plaid dress that she bought me for that first day of school, and the lunchbox. I had a lunchbox with Lassie on it, and I remember talking to the hardware store man who was the one who was going to drive the school bus. We had talked to him about what time he was going to pick me up on the school bus, and I was excited to go, and I did know this one little girl named Robin, but she wasn't going to be on the same route when we were picked up. But anyway, we knew what time this man was going to pick us up, and I had to walk down kind of a long driveway from the house, so I said goodbye to my mother at the house and walked down the driveway and was waiting for the school bus, and pretty soon it came, and I was so excited because I knew it was going to stop for me, but it didn't. It drove right on by. So with great disappointment, I went back up to the house and told my mother that it didn't stop, and so she took me to school in a little Volkswagen, and for some reason, it seemed like we got there after the class had started, but the school bus man, we found out later, was planning to pick me up on his way back down that same road, but we didn't know that. Anyway, I remember going into the classroom, everybody was already seated, and I had to stand there, and the teacher went to her desk at the other end of the classroom and didn't tell me where to sit down. So I felt very shy and insecure, I guess. I didn't know the word at the time, but I was looking around wondering where to sit when my friend Robin said, "Valerie, come here." And she found she had a desk next to her, so I gladly sat down. I remember I'd had to hang up my sweater and my lunchbox out in the hallway. And I remember sometime during that first week raising my hand to go to the bathroom, really because I wanted to go cry. I didn't want to stay in school. I wanted to go home. But that was the only bad thing I remember. After that, I got easily into it and was happy there.
What were some of the happy memories you have of being in a classroom?
Probably just the two good friends that I had, Joanne and Robin. I remember especially my fifth and sixth grade. My fourth grade teacher I wasn't real fond of, but fifth and sixth grade teacher, I had a wonderful lady named Mrs. Cole, and I really looked up to her, really respected her, and really wanted to please her. I remember one happy time when we had invited her over to our house for a meal, and I was so excited to have her.
I think one of Val's difficulties when she started school was understanding that the teacher was addressing her. She was so used to having my undivided
attention
that when she found herself in a classroom with 30 children, she assumed the teacher was talking to them, not to her, so she really didn't pay a whole lot of attention for the first couple of weeks. And then I think one of the happy things would be the fact that she was lucky enough to be going to a school that was right in the heart of ski country, and in school time, she learned to ski.
Did you ever wish for brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do remember wishing for a sister very badly. I remember I had a couple of dreams about having a sister and the happy times that we would have together. I remember sometimes wishing that I had a daddy, but not being ever resentful or too upset about it, just thinking it would be nice to have a daddy.
Elizabeth, what do you tell people who have asked you down through the years, how did you ever be a mother and a father, both to Valerie?
I tell them I couldn't. I had to be her mother. If God in his sovereignty allowed her father to be killed, then I had to claim the many promises that there are for the fatherless in Scripture, and realize that even though this was indeed a very significant loss in a child's life, that God has his sovereign purpose in all of it. So it never occurred to me that I was supposed to be mother and father. Obviously, I had to do some of the things that a father would normally do, such as providing for her, but I was still just her mother.
You did have to provide for her. Did that make you not available as much of the time as you would have liked to have been?
No, I don't think that was ever a problem. First of all, I was a missionary for the first eight years of her life, and that meant that my work was often in my home, and the Indians came to us. Then when I went out to them, she always went along. There wasn't any question that she traveled the trails with me and did whatever I was doing. So I was never separated from her by reason of work, except for the fact that there were many hours of the day that I would be sitting at my desk and doing Bible translation work or perhaps teaching a literacy class in the living room. And Valerie, as a small child, had to learn that she could not always have my attention and she could not interrupt. I think that's a hard lesson for a small child to learn, and it's one that, no matter what the mother's work may be, is a very necessary thing to teach.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.